Blog Talk Radio.
Life is but a dream to me. I don't wanna wake up
30 odd years
without having my cake up. So I'm by my paper 24/7, 365, 366 in a leap year. I don't know why we here, since we gotta be here. Life is but a beat. Went from having shabby clothes, crossing over Abbey Road. Hear my angels singing to me. I just hope I'm hearing right. Karma's got me fearing life. Colleague, are you praying for me? See, I got demons in my past, so I got daughters on the way. If the prophecy's correct, then the child should have to pay for the sins of the father. So I barter my tomorrows against my yesterdays and hope that she'll be okay. And when I'm no longer here to shade her face from the glare, I give her my share of Carol's daughter. And I hear my angel. What a dream to me. Gunshots sing to me. Other guys with lullabies don't mean a thing to me. I'm not afraid of crying, I'm afraid of not trying. Every day hit every wave like I'm Hawaiian. I don't surf the net, no, I never been on my space. Too busy letting my voice vibrate, carving out my space. In this world of fly girls, cut ropes and diamond cut ropes, I twirl. Business round corners where the sun don't shine. I let the wheels give a glimpse of hope for one time. Sunset hope, how you get so fly? I said from not being afraid to fall out the sky. My physical's a shell, so when I say farewell, my soul will find an even higher plane as well. So fly you shell, so have no fear. Just know that life is but a beast.
I hear my angel.
But if
you hear my angel,
I
was just a dream.
Life is but a dream, can't mimic my life. I'm the thinnest cut slice, in the cut, the winner's cup. With winters rough enough to interrupt life. That's why I'm both saint and sinner. Night, it's just J every day, no compromise. No compass comes with this life of eyes. So to map it out, you must look inside. Sure books could guide you, but your heart defines you, chica. The corazón is what brought us home. The great shape like Hadi clone, mighty gone, I am on. Permanent vacay, life is but a beach chair. Songs like a hallmark card until you reach here. Till the she's here, and she be clear. Me and I will prepare. A blueprint for you to print, a map for you to get back. A guide for your eyes and so you won't lose sense. I make a stink for you to think. I ink these verses full of prose so you won't get conned out of 2 cents. My last will of testament, I leave my air. My share Rockefeller records in a shiny new
I hear my angel. Life is just a dream.
Life is but a
dream.
Life
is just a dream.
Life is just a dream.
Peace. Peace from Black Power Family. Welcome to another episode of Do Knowledge Radio, the place where knowledge is born. This is your host, Knowledge Born a Lot, and this is our Thinking Out Loud Thursday series. And we got a special edition because we got an extra special guest by extra special request in the building. And she goes by the righteous and honorable name of Sabria Davis in the building. So we get to hear from this multi-talented, multifaceted entrepreneur who is here to give us some motivation, some inspiration, and some financial edification and education. So it becomes my honor and privilege at this time to introduce some, present to others today's guest by special request, who comes from the divine right state of Queen Sabria Davis in the building.
Hello. Thank you so much. You know, I definitely appreciate the honor and the privilege, you know, to be on the show today. Just to get everybody plugged in with some valuable information, because I think this is really important, you know, for us moving forward as a culture and as a people successfully.
All right. So now, I witnessed the greatness and the magic working all over the internet. I'm over there taking notes and, you know, checking out the videos and everything. You understand what I'm saying? So I was like, I got to see if I could get a hold of Sis. And Sis was like, let me check my schedule, player. I ain't just available for everybody. You understand what I'm saying? I be busy out here making these dollars sign. You understand? So I was like, all right, I'll wait my turn in the corner over there. You see what I'm saying? But we worked out a dynamic way to get you on the platform. So for the rest of the world, the one or two people on the planet who don't know who you are, can you take a moment to kind of introduce yourself to the family?
Absolutely. Well, I'm Sabria Davis. I'm here in Atlanta, Georgia, by way of Philadelphia, PA. Philly is always Philadelphia. What I do is I help with financial education, which also, you know, includes things like credit repair and different financial strategies, you know, to help us break the curve and break the curse, quite officially. Financial education is important, especially in our community, because we are the biggest contributors to the market, period. Mm-hmm. Y'all can go and check all kinds of facts on that. But, you know, just the hair industry alone is like $87 billion with a B. And I know for a fact that we definitely like to keep our hair done. So it's important for us to really get in tune with what's going on in our financial realm. I've been active on this movement for about 5 years now. You know, and I've seen a number of people, you know, transform their lifestyles and, you know, reposition themselves along the way, you know, and I'm happy to be a part of, you know, such a thing. You know, now I see that, you know, with, like, once you incorporate financial education into, you know, your day-to-day activities, I mean, everybody is consistently working, hustling, you know, or doing what they do to make ends meet, you know, to take care of their current lifestyle. But really, you know, it's our future lifestyle that gets, It kind of gets unlooked, you know, because we're so focused on, I need to pay this bill right here, right now. Like, right now, a lot of people are going crazy trying to find rent money. You know, and it's really, the truth is, if we're paying this month's bills with this month's money, we're really one step away from catastrophe.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's all a matter of, you know, just learning key fundamentals to reposition ourselves financially. You know, and I think, like, credit repair, that's really a big aspect of everything as well. You know, as you know, the country is in tremendous amount of debt, but the most important aspect of it is really looking at our own personal economy, you know, looking at what we have going on in our household, you know, so that, you know, if we do fall on hard times or we have any sort of emergency, or, you know, we actually want to, you know, make some sort of investment or something like that, we're in position. You know, when you have better credit, you're now, you know, you have more buying power. You're now able to, you basically have more options. You know, you're not limited to, oh, you have to live in this particular neighborhood that you don't really, you know, feel that you'd be safe in. You have options.
Ooh. In the intro, I didn't give you your new name. You understand what I'm saying? I didn't give you your new name. One of the new things that you do, which is an old thing that you've been doing, is a credit warrior. You know, this might be the first time anybody heard of that term over here. You understand what I'm saying? Queen Sabrina is a credit warrior because she do a battle for your credit and for your credit future. Yeah.
Yes,
she got that sword out. She got the bow and arrow, the sword, the shotgun, everything. You understand what I'm saying? The Harry Tubman of credit repair up in here. You understand?
Yeah,
trying to liberate you.
Yeah. And I'm trying to free some more people. Y'all gotta know. Y'all need to be free now.
That's what I'm talking about. So what has been your experience in regards to, you know, interfacing with our people? You know, what are some of the things that you could share, lessons learned, experiences, and what have you, you know, on this path to becoming this credit warrior and, you know, helping our people help themselves, putting them in a better position?
Okay. So some of the things that, you know, I've learned through my experience with helping others is that we, you know, like I was saying earlier, you know, it's really the things that we don't know that are affecting us the most. You know, like, remember that old saying, you know, what you don't know won't hurt you. And that's so wrong. That's so wrong. And, like, if your best friend puts some bleach in your Kool-Aid and you don't know, it's going to hurt you when you drink that Kool-Aid, you know. So it's important, like the things that we don't know, it's important for us to start learning. And what I found is that, you know, one of the strategies that I've taught people, you know, helps them to increase their take-home pay from their job, you know, on average $200 to $1,800. Now, when they apply this strategy, now they have additional funds that they can start putting towards their debt. You know, most cases people think, oh, you know, I got to get another job, you know, and try to struggle to pay off the debt that way. And really, you know, most cases people tend to spend their entire lives trying to take care of the debt that they have. When really it's not, you know, it doesn't have to be so hard. Really all it takes is a little strategy, you know, a little planning. You know, like I help people to formulate personal blueprints, you know, so that they can really, you know, see their debt-free goal, you know, in real time. You know, if they feel that, you know, in the next, I don't know, 5 years, whatever, you know, they want to be in a position where, you know, they can sit back and, you know, just have time with their family, raising their children, things like that. You know, I have a tool where they can actually calculate, you know, the calculate exactly how much debt they have, how soon they could pay it off, and the like. You know, even as far as, you know, a residual, residual income over that course of time that, you know, they quote-unquote retire, stop working. And also, like, with talking to so many different people, like I said, it's the things that we don't know that tend to hurt us the most. And when we're not, you know, a lot of this information, like, we're not plugged in. You know, we sat down with our financial advisors growing up, you know, and that's no disrespect to our elders and to our family, but they can't teach us what they don't know. You know, you can only teach what you've been exposed to. And, you know, they haven't exactly been exposed to, you know, wealthy habits. So, you know, we have to tap in. You know, we look at, you know, all the dynamics that we have in our neighborhoods and our communities, you know, with, you know, subpar school and education and stuff like that. And really, it's up to those that have, it's really, like, really the choices or decisions are made, changes are made by those that have the money. So if we don't start putting some of that money behind us, then our voices will not be heard as far as trying to, you know, make those improvements that we want to make.
That's right. That's right. That's right. So can you share a little bit about your personal journey? What was the catalyst for you 5 years
okay.
ago or more that kind of got you into this, you know, war effort, right?
Okay. So some of the motivating factors for me were looking at my family, you know, like we used to have land, we used to have property, you know, and I can't say that, you know, there was ever really, you know, any liquid assets, but the money and the land, I mean, the land and the property, those are gone, you know, whatever relatives had them at the time, they sooner or later fell on hard times, and they sold it, you know, and I felt that it's necessary, you know, I feel like it's my right, my job, and my duty to reposition my family, you know, to have some sort of, you know, to have assets again, you know, to start creating a different platform of wealth, you know, within my family tree, you know, because I want, like, I look at a lot of the youth today, and I see, you know, from my perspective, I don't have any children at this particular time. But, you know, I see that a lot, most families are, you know, the parents are at work consistently and the children are at school. And there's not really a lot of time together, you know. So the raising, you know, is a little different. You know, we're missing out on key moments and stuff like that. And for me, you know, I thought that, for me, I see entrepreneurship, you know, as a route to, you know, stay on that course. You know, if I'm about to stay on that course, I can, you know, provide more opportunities for my children to further be educated. You know, if they're studying, you know, if they're studying Ethiopia in school and they don't really understand, you know, what's going on or what they're talking about, you know what? Let's take a trip. Let's go ahead on Ethiopia and let's see. Like, let's see firsthand what's going on. You know, but I want to be able to provide more options for them. And, you know, to do more for other people. Like, I'm also looking into starting a nonprofit for the homeless. You know, like I was saying earlier, I'm from Philadelphia. And I know this isn't, you know, this isn't strictly a Philadelphia thing, but there's tons of vacant properties out here, y'all. Like, there's tons of them. And, you know, it's really, I'd say it's best for us being, you know, people of that community to go ahead and be the ones to capitalize on it as opposed to having, you know, outside sources come in, as they usually do, and capitalize in our neighborhood. And we try to figure out why everybody else got it on lock. We have. Like, we have the buying power. Like, we are the key. I'm telling y'all, we are really the key. I don't necessarily want to name drop, but there is a film I recommend. You know, anyone that's interested in finances or, you know, their personal economy, watch the film Black Friday. Okay? That's by a friend of mine, Rich Mathis. And that film right there, like, I'm telling you, it really taps into, you know, where we're at and where we can go, the potential and the level that we can reach, you know, and how we can really change the course of time, change the course of history. Like, it doesn't make sense to me, you know, for any one of us to work 40, 50 years and die and not have funds to even bury us. Like, to me, that, like, I really find that to be, like, baffling, you know, that in itself is a sign that we need to go back to the table. We need to really, you know, learn and unlearn some of the things that we've learned. You know, financial education is one of those things, like sex education, that is required. You have to take sex ed. But financial education, that's not one of those things they put on the table. You got to learn. They make you learn it the hard way. But, yeah.
So what are some things that you learned along the way with your bumps and your bruises that you wish you would have had an opportunity to learn at the beginning?
Oh, my God.
No. That's a book right there. I ain't about to give that to you right now. You got to buy the book, brother.
I'm telling you, because, like, you know, when it came out to, like, credit, I had no clue. Like, I just thought, you know, you got the card, you good. Swipe. So I'm just swiping, you know, and I'm paying the minimum balance and all that good stuff. And many times, 20 times, you know, my score was super low and I didn't really know. Oh, making the minimum payment, you know, on this card is really costing me more than it's worth. I'm thinking, oh, they're looking out. They said, oh, just pay $25. All right. You know, really, in the long run, I was overpaying. I'm overpaying on the purchase because I'm making that minimum payment. And then what I didn't know about was making multiple payments before the due date. I learned that that was something that could help boost my score faster, so I started doing that. And then with the car notes. Now I prefer, like, just to go buy cash and be done and keep moving. We gonna keep moving. But with car notes, the thing that we don't really look at. Is how it will affect us in the long run. Like I was saying earlier, you know, if your credit isn't high, you have like a low score, that means you're going to pay more interest, meaning on top of the $10,000 tab, you know, we're going to add another $5,000 to $10,000, depending on where your interest rate is at, you know, which, again, if you just got extra money around, you balling like that, go ahead, do your thing. But most people don't. So you really want to be in tune with what's going on. You do not want to get caught out there with a high interest rate on a car note because, you know, what will happen is if you you mess around and you miss a couple payments, it don't matter if you done paid $9,000 of that $10,000 that you owe. Guess what they're going to do? They will come and they will sweep your car away. And you just ain't got no car. And that ain't the way to be, okay? Especially if you in like a rural neighborhood or rural community. Yeah, they got Uber and Lyft nowadays without a couch. You don't want to get caught up there. You know, but that was just something, some of the things that I learned from my experience, to help me to make sure I tap in to what's going on and be aware of what's going on with your credit. Like, you want to, there's free sites like Credit Karma, Credit Sesame. You can go on there at any given time and see what your score is for free. Now, it may not be like the best of the best. You know, if you want something better, then you want to pay for a credit monitoring service. You know, I have those options available as well. But what you want to do is, you know, be in tune to see what's going on with it. If you don't know where you are, how can you even know where you're going? I'm gonna write that for that.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, I want to take a little second to acknowledge an aspect of yourself that may be displayed and may not really be defined. People might be confined by what they see. You know, they might see you appear a certain kind of way, and it might draw assumptions from that. So can we talk about some aspects of the spiritual journey?
Sure. Well, I'm Muslim. So most times y'all see me on the internet. 99.9% of the time y'all see me on the internet or in public. I'm generally covered. I've been Muslim for about 18, 19 years now. And you know, I didn't necessarily grow up in a Muslim household. Actually, I grew up in a Christian household. You know, so I've been going to church majority of the time. At one point, it was majority of the time. but yeah, I think it was my time in Philly where, you know, that had that transition that occurred for me. You know, because Philadelphia, like the Muslim community there is so thick. Like when I tell you they're everywhere, I mean, we are everywhere. We're driving buses, we got the stores, like everywhere. You go to Walmart, you know, it's almost like a like a Juma service or a Friday service because there were so many, you know, Muslim sisters and brothers in there working. it was the coolest thing, you know. And that was one of the things, like, Philly, like, that definitely brought out, you know, the hustler, more the hustler entrepreneurial spirit in me. You know, because there's, like, so many different vendors and outlets. And, you know, I learned how to sew, you know, and how to do henna and stuff like that while I was there. So, you know, I'm like, okay. Let me go out here and, you know, see what's up. Like, I met a sister one day. I think it's maybe my second time going to the Masjid. And I met a sister that day who, you know, is still my friend to this day. But she had taught me how to sew. You know, so from there, you know, I turned that into another stream of income for myself. And, you know, I just started helping, you know, more sisters, you know, cover properly, you know, and stop while they do. I'm about to get in here and make me something soon.
Okay.
As a Muslim, like, one of the key elements is really, you know, worshiping God. And think not, you know, worshiping God and, you know, doing what's right, you know, putting more good out into the world. Because you already know there's more than enough people out here. You know, and our job is not to contribute to that. You know, we want to do what's best for, you know, humanity. Do what's best for others, you know, giving charity, teaching, you know, educating. You know, it's also another form, you know, of the charitable causes. You know, charitable causes don't always have to be money, but, you know, it does help.
So, you said 18 years ago you was out soul searching. What was it about Islam that got your attention?
I think at that time, like I was going through, well, obviously a transitional phase, but I felt like I needed something. I felt like something was missing. You know, and like I said, I had been going to church, you know, for some time. And, you know, as a military brat, like what I noticed with going to different churches was that there was a different, I don't know if I say different method, but things were different. You know, some of them, you know, were more adamant about, you know, Jesus, and then some of them were more adamant about God. And then I'm like, wait a minute, we kind of like, hold on. But that particular time, I felt like I needed something. I felt like something was missing. I felt like I needed some guidance, You know, and I was talking to one of my Muslim friends, who's also still a friend to this day, and I was saying, hey, you know, like, I don't know what's going on, but, like, I just feel like something's missing. And they're like, well, you know, I don't know, but, you know, that's up for a law. Like, a law's going to, you know, have to be the one to show you. You know, so they had pointed me in the direction of a few different books, and I started going to the library and reading the Quran on my own. And, you know, as I'm reading the Quran, I'm like, ooh, like I felt it, you know?
Mm.
Like I had that little tingle in my heart, and I was like, ooh. And, you know, I went to the Islamic store, and when I grabbed a couple books from them, a hand in the door for my new shahada or new sister. I might, yeah, one of those two. But, you know, that was, like, very informative, you know, as far as some of the principles and practices, you know, what to expect as a Muslim woman. And I'm like, yeah, it's perfect. Like, this is perfect. Like, what am I doing here? You know, so after that, I went, I think my second time back to the store to get me some more books. They like, okay, sit. Like, you know, you feeling it, you vibing with it. But it's not until you actually take shahada that your slate will be clean.
Mm.
And you can come in here and get some new books today, but you go out today and you get hit by a bus, hey, your slate's still dirty. I'm like, true. You're right. I didn't read that. All right. You know, so I went ahead and took my shahada, and I've been on the route ever since.
Mm. So what was that moment like? I don't know if you know too much about me, but I taught Islam for about 20 years. And, you know, Allah blessed me to be in a lot of spaces, a lot of places, with a lot of people all over the planet. And giving shahada, you know, that feeling was never, you know, the what you call that? That feeling never got old. So, what was it like, you know, actually that day for you taking shahada? You know what I'm saying? Like, what was that? What was those some of them emotions like for you?
I felt new.
Mm.
Like, I felt like a whole new thing. And, you know, when I left and I went home. Now, at that particular time, I was living with my grandmother. You know, God rest her soul. She just passed this July. And I went home. And pause. Because I said I grew up in a Christian household.
Mm.
So the excitement, you know, for this new change and, you know, yeah, for this new life that I'm taking on was there, but my family wasn't necessarily, you know, supportive of this move. They're like, hold up.
You done joined some cult? You don't love to Jesus no more?
I've become a traitor.
You know, Paul, what you talking about, girl?
Man, what's that? You know, you got all them rags on. Like, you know, and mind you, like, prior to me becoming Muslim, you know, I was, you know, tight shirt and jeans type of girl, you know? It might be like a kind of club, what have you, but whatever the case was, you know, you can see what's going on. I'm like, really? So you mad at me because I'm covering up and I'm, you know, I'm trying to show, you know, I'm trying to show God that, you know, I'm really with the cause. Okay. But yeah, like that excitement for me was there. It was just a little, you know, difficult. I had difficulty getting my family to accept it in the beginning. you know, eventually they came around. You know, eventually they came around. Now, they haven't, you know, stepped on board and converted as well. But, you know, it was a good feeling, though, to be able to sit down with my grandmother, you know, and read some Quran to her, you know.
Mm.
Like, that was good.
That's a beautiful thing. And, you know, change is constant. And,
absolutely.
You know, change requires commitment. It requires you to commit to a certain aspect or a part of yourself that, you know, there's growing pains along with that. But, you know, I believe that your family was checking to see how long you was going to be doing what you was doing. And maybe it was popular. You know, I don't know the time frame around which you came into Islam or whatever. But if you think about some of the events that happened in the world and, you know, some of the movies and stuff that came out and, or, you know, all kinds of things, indiscriminate to what they might see every day. They might see the beards walking around, you know what I'm saying? You might see the sisters with the clothes on and all that and be oblivious to it until it affects your family. Now you're looking around like, oh. So now it's like, okay, now I'm trying to figure out what's going on here because something about this particular change has become a catalyst in the life of someone that is a loved one to me. So let me see how this goes. Let's see if this, as long as this is not a fad or a phase or something you're doing just because you don't like the house or whatever the case may be, they have to go through all of those pains. And so does the person on that path of change, you know, that ability to remain steadfast and consistent and be that example. You know, some people it takes a couple of months for they, you know, family to come around. Some people it take a couple of years, and some people have the painful thing that their family never comes around to whatever change that or catalyst that's in their life. You know, indiscriminate to how righteous it may be and right it may be for them. You know, so an example matters. You know, I hear everybody's woke now, so I guess, you know, that's the new terminology to describe this. But there should be nothing that you find out in the world in your wokeness that has you at odds or enemy with your family. You know, and you can decide that. You know, so if you're talking about, you know, wealth building, you know, if you're talking about being an entrepreneur, you're talking about profits versus wages, whatever the case may be, like, you have to prepare your imagination for, you know, the journey that's ahead. You have a hard enough journey as it is. You need a support system, you know, and you won't get a support system if you come in flaming, like, you still working? You understand what I'm saying? Like you have to be prepared to do that. Like, oh, you still eating that fried chicken. You know what I'm saying? A lot of times we come with that kind of approach. That really kind of ostracizes ourselves before, you know, our loved ones could do any of that, you know. So being prepared and change is new, you know, have to keep those established relationships, you know. Islam talks about, and do not cut off relations with the womb that bore you, you know. Not just your physical womb, where you came from the womb of your mother, but those institutions and catalysts and relationships that you have built throughout your life during your childhood period or time, you know, beforehand, and having, you know, patience with yourself and patience with your family and patience with your creator, you know, are all guiding catalysts throughout that process. That's very tumultuous at a particular time. But, you know, you're a boss, so, you know, you figured out how to boss up and keep on bossing, you know what I'm saying? So that's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, like over this, you know, over this journey, you know, yeah, over the course of this journey, let's just say this last 18 years where, you know, I'm becoming Muslim and, you know, becoming an entrepreneur, you know, what I've known and what I've really started practicing and implementing is personal growth and self-development.
Mm.
Now, you know, growing up, like, I did like to read, but, you know, it wasn't so much, you know, of the personal growth, self-development. We just read, just be reading to be entertained. Now, you know, my reading is, you know, more beneficial because I'm reading things that are going to help me, you know, grow, that are going to help make me a better person, help me become the person that I need to become to acquire what I need to acquire and achieve what I need to achieve. You know, because I really don't believe that any of us are here just to be here. Like, I truly believe that every individual has, you know, their own purpose, you know, and even, you know, may have certain gifts and seeds. Like, for me, as a child, I do recall, like, I recall very distinctly that I was talking about limos and Lamborghinis. Now, I don't know what I knew about a limo and a Lamborghini at 5 or 6 years old. I know about them now. I know about them now, and I still want a Lambo. But one of the things with the personal growth and self-development was affirmation, you know, and being somebody with, you know, just a lot of attraction and the power of words, you know, that we use. Like, cause one thing that I've noticed, and just over the course of time, like, you know, you've ever had that friend that's always like, I'm broke. They always saying they're broke, and lo and behold, financially, they're almost always broke. Spiritually, they're almost always broke, you know, emotionally and so forth, right? But that in itself is an example of a bad affirmation to make. You know, you want words to have power. So you want to, you know, speak positive statements over what it is that you want, you know, as opposed to saying that, you know, I'm so happy and I'm so thankful that I am now a millionaire. Woo! You got to say it with power. Okay. You know, and just like,
that's going to be a soundbite right there. That's going to be a soundbite. Hey, you need to put that out there and, you know, and have people have that going on with them right there. Just, you know, saying that energy in which you said and you invoked that like that, yeah, that's powerful.
Very, you know, very. And what you'll see, right, like the thing about affirmations, right, like they're best done when you're in a drowsy or a sleepy format, you know, whether it's you're just waking up or you're about to go to bed, whatever. But they're best done in those cases. Now, when you do the affirmation, you want to, you know, your brain doesn't know the difference between reality and fiction. You know, so you're basically convincing your brain, you know, that, okay, you know, I am a millionaire. You know, this is what's happening. You know, these great things are transpiring in my life, you know, and so forth. And what you'll start to see is these things actually start showing up in your life. Like, I've had, you know, experiences where that's kind of, like, I had an affirmation about, like, what happened? I had an accident. I had a car accident, and my car was totaled. You know, so my new affirmation was, I'm so happy and so thankful for my new car, right? So I'm saying this every day, and lo and behold, I'm not sure what the time frame was, maybe like a month, but my grandmother gave me her car. Now I have a car, you know, but I was definitely happy and thankful because I have a vehicle. And, you know, all the great amenities that the vehicle came with, of course. But, you know, doing stuff like that will help change, you know, your perception of things, you know, the experiences that you're going through. Like, we all go through, you know, ups and downs, you know, but really it's about how we respond to these things, you know, to attract something better. You know, if you're having a rough time, you know, if things are difficult for you, you don't want to keep sowing the seed that, you know, it's difficult. You don't want to keep sowing the seed, oh, man, stuff is all, nothing ever will work out. You know how, you don't want to keep sowing those seeds. Start speaking life into it, you know, because if you keep sowing that seed, that little tree is going to keep growing. And before you know it, you're still in that same predicament, you know, and not satisfied. The whole goal, you know, the whole goal is growth. You know, you want to grow mentally. You want to, you know, involve yourself with, you know, more influential people. People that are smarter. People that, you know, when I say better, I mean better. I don't know any other way to, you know, define better. But people that are, you know, on a higher level than where you're at. Maybe they're, yeah, people that are on a higher level than where you currently are. Start surrounding yourself with people, you know, in those respects, and you'll start to learn, you know, more from them. You know, you don't want to be the smartest person in your group. Because at the end of the day, when it boils down, you go on one, find yourself drained, because they done got all your good information, and you have not grown from that. You know, you want to be in an environment where you can grow, you can learn, and you're adding value to one another. Those I've found are the most, valuable in my relationship. You know, like one of the affirmations I make is that I'm so happy and so thankful that all my friends are successful and add value to my life. For me, that's very big because I've had friends that didn't have nothing but always want to do something. And, you know, I'm very nurturing and giving in nature, so I'm looking out, and I'm like, wait a minute. You ain't never got no money, but you always want to. I'm like, I don't understand.
So you like, got it. They're like, you got it.
You got, I know you got me, cuz. Hold on. Wait a minute now. They don't go together now. We don't go together. You know. So it's a, you know, a few experiences and relationships like that before it clicked. Like, you know, I need more people around me that are adding value, you know, that are helping, you know, me become better, helping me become who I need to become. Because I, you know, with all the different things, you know, that I have in mind or the vision that I see for myself, I need to be better. I need to be better, and I need to be learning more. And, you know, just be in different environments and, you know, I need growth, you know. So once, what I noticed, like, the more I did the affirmation, I started noticing how my circle was changing. Like, a lot of my old, I do have a lot of old friends, long-term friends, but I do have a lot of new friends, you know, that have, you know, a lot of entrepreneurs and, leaders, you know, that are out here that are really doing big things, making changes in their community, you know, helping tons of people. And it's just like, it's really exciting, you know. It's really exciting seeing so much Black excellence, like, for real, you know. Like, because, you know, coming up, you know, most of the examples we saw were, like, on TV, you know, the Cosby. You know, like, that was like, oh. I wish that was my dad. You know, that was like the whole imagery with that. You know, and here we fast forward now. Now, you know, we can say, okay, cool. I know people that, you know, can help me, you know, to establish that 501c3. I know people that can help me get this rental property, you know, up and going. You know, it's just really about, you know, just positioning and growth. Like, I'm super excited, you know, about what's to come. And, you know, I'm just looking at, you know, who I can help along the way. Like, listen, young lady. Anything is possible, okay? If you have a dream, you have a vision, and you have a goal in mind, don't stop, you know, keep going. Like, people, there's going to be people that are going to knock your hustle. There are going to be people that do not agree, you know, with your vision, that's okay. It's not, God gave the vision to you. It's not for them to see. You know, and that's something that I had to learn. You know, I learned from experience. I was like, oh, you know what? That's why they couldn't see the limo and the Lamborghinis, because that wasn't something that was, you know, and I feel that God plants seeds, you know, within us all, you know, and it's up to us to, you know, nourish it, you know, to nourish it and provide the necessary growth, you know, so that we can become the best versions of ourselves every day. It's a nonstop process, you know, never stop learning, you know, but as I was saying, young ladies, like, don't leave, whatever you do, don't get caught up, you know, don't get caught up in the here and now, you know, think about your future, you know, look at your goals, you know, start, you know, if you need to, like, write your goals down, you know, start planning a day ahead, you know, whatever it is that you, wherever you see, you know, your weaknesses lying, do what you need to do. And become stronger in those areas. If you need help, ask for help. Don't be afraid to ask for help, because you never know, you know, who will be willing to help. Be surprised. And, like, you really be surprised. You know, there's all kind of resources available, but if you don't speak up, you know, as many of our grandmothers have said, a closed mouth won't get fed.
That's right. So I want to take a few moments for you to get an opportunity to talk about the services and, you know, the business model, things like that for the people out here and how people can take advantage of some of the things that you provide and how to get a hold of you to do that.
Okay. You know, so as I was saying earlier, like, financial education is a very, 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 very big part of it. And, you know, in order to achieve personal financial success, or basically, you know what, personal financial success is simply having enough cash flow to support our lifestyle, you know, during our working years and our retirement years. You know, and the way the system is set up, most people are retiring and then going back to work, because they need money to survive their retirement, you know. Now, our, like, the solution that we have in place is basically you want to minimize your taxes. Now, we teach a strategy where you minimize your taxes, and if you're working a job, you know, because first of all, taxes is the biggest expense you have, right? But once you minimize your taxes, once you minimize your taxes, you'll see additional income coming in your job. Now, the format here is not to take this money and go fall out, buy you some Jordans, get you some rims, none of that crazy. No. You want to get rid of your debt ASAP. The sooner you get rid of your debt, the sooner you can be in a better position, the sooner you will have more cash flow to make more moves. Now, when you, you know, eliminating the debt, naturally that's going to build your credit. You have a better credit score, you have more buying power. Now you're able to, you know, and pause. Your credit score is not just for, you know, buying a car or getting a house. They check your credit score when you're trying to get utilities. They check your credit score even for some job, okay? So if you're out here job hunting and your credit score is low and you have an issue with finding a job, that might be, you know, part of what we need to take a look at in order to, you know, get you in a better position to find that dream job. Also, we teach investment strategies. Now, the thing about investing is we're not going to tell you, hey, you need to put your money here. You know, what we will do is we will make sure that you have a good understanding of the terminology and perspective. So moving forward, you're not, you know, moving forward, you know what's going on. You're aware of, you know, the moves that you can make. And within, you know, within combining those, within combining those five different strategies, you can put yourself in position to pretty much be in a positive cash flow. Most people are in a negative, you know, at the time because they're paycheck to paycheck. Utilizing strategy, you know, will put you in a position to where now you have positive cash flow. Now you have income that you can put towards investment. You know, a prime example would be, let's say you invested an extra $500 every month. And at a 8% return over a 15-year period, that would be around $173,000. Mind, most people don't have $1,000 set aside for a rainy day. So that strategy alone is big, like it's super big, you know. And I'm loving the fact that, you know, that's something possible, like the burial, you know, the funeral funds and things like that. That makes something like that so trivial and small that it's not even part of the conversation. Now I got it. Now I can be reached on. Let's see, if you have any questions or you want to see more about some of the strategies that I spoke of, you can always go to my website, www.time4ucashout.com. I'll say that again. You can go to www.time4ucashout.com. And you'll basically be able to check out my website, get a little more insight there. Or if you feel a little bit more personal, I could be reached at 678-964-7033. That number is 678-964-7033. And I'm on pretty much every social media platform. Sabriya, Sabriyyah. Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, you name it, but you can find me. Just send a friend request or, you know, follow and, you know, message me if you have questions or anything like that. Like, I'm here, I'm available. Well, not, you know, 24/7, but, you know, feel free to reach out, you know, so we can help you get in a better position. You know, because I'm super excited about seeing my people on the up and up. Like, we come from kings and queens. You know, I don't think that our desire to have nice things is just, you know, because we want nice things. I think that's naturally in our blood. You know, so it's important for us to, you know, go ahead, get back in the swing of things, into ownership. You know, yeah, ownership is necessary, y'all.
All right. Well, thank you for your time, and hopefully this isn't your last opportunity with us over here.
Oh, no. I'll be back through here.
All right. Okay, all right.
I appreciate you, brother.
It's all love. You can have this as a, excuse me, as a marketing tool for you to use. You know, if you have that skillet to download it, upload it, if you got a YouTube channel or whatever the case may be, YouTube, any of the social media where you can upload it, you have it. It's yours to keep.
Thank you, Tyler. I appreciate
you. It's all love. Enjoy your day.
Absolutely, brother. You too.
All right.